right, welcome back in. A busy day today on Mining Stock Daily, and we have another corporate introduction. Back in the day, you will perhaps remember Sombrero Resources. Well, back in late 2021, they were renamed Copernico Metals, and we're happy to welcome in CEO of that company and serial company builder, Mr. Ivan Bebek. First time on the podcast. I can't believe in 7 years I've done this podcast, this is the first time. So,
well, it's a great pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me at an incredibly pivotal time for the company. But it's been 8 years for me waiting for this asset, Sombrero, to come online, so it fits well. And you're my first interview since we announced that we are getting drill permits as of yesterday. But it's a really exciting time for us.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm grateful for that. You mentioned 8 years. Maybe walk us through this and, you know, wrap up 8 years on getting to this point, Ivan. And, you know, I guess what took so long? I guess that's a great question.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick background in how I got to the 8 years and why I was able to endure them. Entered the business in late 99, followed a guy that found six major mines around the world and learned from him of what it takes, the perseverance, the time to go after the big one. In 2005, formed a company called Keegan Resources. We found a 5 million ounce gold mine in Africa, and the stock had gone from 10 cents to $9 per share. That was the first big win on the battle with the group. And then we went in to create another one called Caden Resources, which was to do the same thing. And we ended up in Mexico, and we drilled 100 holes and sold the company in 2014 to Agnico Eagle for $205 million. And now we had a couple big wins under the belt. And, you know, the more you find, the more you learn how to do this well and create share price performance and create a lot of value for shareholders. You want to go bigger. And that's where I wanted to go, is the bigger the prize, the better. But I knew those first two successes were key before I could go after something as big as what we're going after in Sombrero. As far as where Sombrero came from and how we got to the 8 years, to answer your question, we formed a company called Orin Resources. We spent over $100 million from 2015 to 2020 looking for that big one with some bright geologists from Newmont. And we came across this project in southern Peru called Sombrero, and we started to explore it in 2015. And by 2020, we identified a direct analog to a mine called Las Bambas and several other major mines nearby, Las Bambas on the Andahuaylas-Yauri trend in southern Peru. And we saw the same scale, the same grade, the same date that mine was formed. We saw 100 to 200 meters of what you could call potential ore grade mineralization on surface, and 10 kilometers of strike length to go test, you know, the target horizon that is hosting all the metal and mineralization at Las Bambas. So the goal was to go find the next Las Bambas with a direct analog. And in 2020, we ran into an expiration of a social access agreement that we had. And this is where the challenges started. And we also ran into COVID, if you all remember. And you can't really push a social access agreement through when people are grasping for, you know, oxygen in their lives during the challenges of COVID. So it delayed us for about a couple of years. And, you know, but 3 years later, in November of last year, we finally got a social access agreement. And as per our intro, we just got a drill permit that we could actually go drill these incredible targets that have this big analog. Copernico Metals, previously named Sombrero, was spun out of Orin Resources. And what Orin came up with, that $100 million spend, they found gold, silver, and copper opportunities. And a gentleman that had been pursuing us for Sombrero was the head of exploration for BHP. His name is Keenan Jennings. And he said to me early on in Orin, he's like, look, if you can separate your copper from your silver and gold projects, we're interested and we'd like to pursue it with you. And so I took that to heart, split the company, and, you know, going forward a few years, he retired from BHP last summer, and he's now just joined our board as of January of this year. So the great think tank, or the idea, came from head of exploration from BHP, who loved the asset, wanted it separate from the other assets so we could focus on creating the value directly with it and be a copper focused company. And now he's on the team, and we're about to explore an analog to the eighth largest copper mine, producing copper mine in the world, at a time where copper is going into deficit in the next 18, 24 months. And the outlook for quality copper deposits has never been higher. And this project represents a lot of evidence and a lot of scale and a lot of grade. And it's going to take a lot of time to just get through some of the many targets that it has.
Yeah. Those other companies spun out from that deal out of Orion, Torque and Tier One, is that correct?
No, actually, it was out of Oren. It was Fury Gold Mines, and
Okay.
it was Tier One Silver. And a quick recap on those. I mean, we spun them out at end of 2020, going into 2021 and 2022, and the first wave of those companies was spectacular in terms of performance. Combined value was higher than Oren's highest share price. Oren traded at 320 per share with 105 million shares out when we did the spin, so we had over a $300 million market cap. A lot of that market cap was predicated off of Sombrero. That was the flagship at the time. And we didn't know enough about Tier One Silver until we quickly started finding bonanza grade silver system, over 4 by 5 kilometers of silver veins running from 1 to 400 kilograms of silver, 300 kilograms of silver. And then we learned quickly that it also sits on the one of the most prolific porphyry trends in the world by the coast of Peru. And it has an opportunity for silver and copper. But when silver went from $32 an ounce down to $18 an ounce, if you know the silver market, it's on or off. There's no really middle market. So the stock suffered, but we are going to bring that one back to life here shortly. We think silver is going to be one of the best performing commodities, and that has a double opportunity for silver and copper. As far as Fury Gold Mines, this is we bought East Main as a Quebec gold deposit, and we've also inherited the Éléonore South joint venture, which is now owned by us outright. We just bought it from Newmont, and we sold a non-core asset called Homestake Ridge in BC for about 60 or 76 million shares of Dolly Varden Silver. So Fury has an incredible marketable security position that gives it a lot of anti-dilutive opportunity to go do a lot with that money. And they're about to drill some of my preferred targets on the Éléonore joint venture at ground that's now ours, because it sits next to the Éléonore mine owned by Newmont, which is running out of supply and has about 3 to 5 years left of mine life. So it could be the source of additional ounces that could really feed that. So Fury's been on the track in Eastern Canada. It's about to turn, I think, an exciting corner for new discoveries and big exploration for gold. Tier One Silver has been waiting patiently for the silver market, but we're getting very close and it will come to life shortly. And then Sombrero became Copernico Metals. And my success in my career has been as a CEO, and I've been a CEO of an unlisted company for 3 years, patiently waiting for to get this access. There was a lot of doubt we'd get through. There's a lot of frustration, but quoting back to what I said at the beginning of the interview, working with a guy like Dr. Omer Schlenk at the beginning of my career, that taught me about you find the big one, you wait, and you do whatever necessary to get to that target. Personally, I bought $5.5 million of Orin in the open market from $1 to $4 a share. So my alignment with shareholders is outstanding. And I think as an investor first and a CEO second, because that's why we're all here, is we make money if the share price performs. I'm sitting here at 8 years into my life that's dedicated to this swing, and it's by no means a guarantee that it's going to be the one. But as long as the prize could be as big as a Las Bambas or one of those big mines such as Tintaya, Antapaccay, Constancia on the belt next door, then I'm extremely excited to go after something like this and commit almost a decade of my time to go after it. The most sobering thing that I've dealt with to hang on and what gave me that key gear of perseverance has been a couple of things. One is my social team down in Peru. We brought in agriculture to the Andes, and we've had a chance to build really good relationships with the people, and their success is truly our success. And they won first, and they will win long after we're gone with these agricultural things we brought in that are investments by us, the government, as well as themselves. And then secondly was the third party report card that we got when major mining companies would come see the asset and the opportunity. And when you kept get, I kept getting report cards back of this is a 10 out of 10, this is a highly coveted asset from some of the largest mining companies in the world. Obviously, Keenan from BHP is no mystery that he's one of them. It gave me the perseverance gear to commit more personal capital and weather the long wait for it. I will say this for the state of the market today, we're on the edge of gold, silver, copper breaking out finally. It's been a 13-year bear market with some small windows in that market. And the biggest challenge that we're having, and Tier One, Copernico, and Fury, we've all looked at adding more assets before the market turns. We've all looked at probably around 60 to 63 projects each company, and we're not finding much. There isn't much out there. Nothing that measures up to a Sombrero opportunity, nothing that's measuring up to Curibaya or what's in Fury, including Committee Bay. These are rare major swings. In a down market, you get the criticisms of going after something big, and it's painful and it's somewhat dilutive. But as the market turns, the biggest asset is the project. And then secondary, it's the management to monetize and the team to explore it. That's what comes second to the asset. It's hard to find them. But for me, I'm very proud of the team. We're very lucky to be here. We're very lucky that we've had such great relationship and able to contribute to the communities. And now we're going to get to go drill, probably start drilling at the end of May, early June, after we list the company.
There is a little bit of, I guess, baggage in Peru given the previous administration. And we actually talked to some other operators, explorers in Peru just yesterday. So we got a little bit of feedback. I mean, but I guess in general here, Ivan, does Peru feel like it's back on track here for explorers? I mean, obviously, there's jurisdictional risk wherever you go, wherever you work. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It seems like things are a lot more favorable for the country of Peru now than obviously they were not too long ago.
Yeah, so last PDAC, we sat at the round table with the Peruvian government, and we made our complaint about how long it takes to get drill permits, and we compared it to other places where it's much, much, much faster. And they listen, and they've made some things easier. I mean, we are a product of that success rate recently. And in November, we got social access. We're sitting here in March and we've got a drill permit. We've changed the time frame considerably. They have now allowed it as of December that you can apply for your water permit parallel to your startup activities, which is the key permit we just got that's essential for drilling. It used to be that you would have to apply for your water permit after you got your startup activities, which could take 3 to 4 months. And so we've got the start of activities, and we had applied for a water permit back in December, so we'll have that here in the next few weeks. But they've made efforts, and there's definitely been a big shift listening to that. There's no shortage of understanding in Peru that copper gold exploration is paramount to the success of the country. It's the largest proponent of their GDP. And I think, in South American countries that are resource rich, there's always going to be some challenges and some volatility in the politics, but all the big mines have not shut down with any of the political turmoil. I've seen six presidents in 8 years or so, and I've not seen mines stop producing or capital stop flowing on the mining basis. Where it's been the most challenging has been down at the permit level to get drill permits, and they treat it in a good way, very strict, as if you're going to build a mine almost to get an exploration permit. At the same time, that's a long-winded thing. Not too many people can finance and persevere through that time frame. We've been able to because of past successes we've had, and we've written checks. Myself and other board members have written checks to get us through it, but it's not been that easy for everyone. The view of Peru for me is, largest mines in the world exist in this country. They're the top producers of copper, gold, and silver. And I look at that as what we call it, an elephant country. It's the big scale opportunities that can come out. And I just want to say, in 8 years of being there, it's gotten better, not worse. And I see some really smart moves within the government. You saw Buenaventura as a well-known Peruvian miner. Their flagship mine was permitted 2 weeks ago. So there is things happening. There's a movement towards it. Peru is competitive with Chile on the attraction of capital, who's also another major developer, and it keeps it very competitive in a good way for companies. But I'd hope to see it continue on this direction. And we've done 7, 8 years of community work before getting a drill permit, and we've done things that will sustain these communities well beyond our presence. And I think if companies are behaving appropriately and they're being very inclusive, and the communities are succeeding, up front and first, and their sustainable impact is very positive to explore. And, we're not using any chemicals or anything like that. I think Peru can really open up a lot of jobs and create a lot of improvements in various parts of Peru where mining exploration projects exist. And there's opportunities for both sides. So I think capital will come in. Peru's going to be one of the hot spots globally for the big ones. And we're certainly at the forefront of that opportunity.
Yesterday, you announced you finally got those drill permits here for the Sombrero project, so you can start testing a little chunk of land, about 100,000 hectare land position. So, pretty big here. You don't go into great detail about exactly what that exploration program is going to look like, but you do have a number of targets that you, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you're looking forward to getting at as quickly as possible. I'm assuming you're going to put out kind of some more information on exactly what that drilling program is going to look like and where you're going to be targeting first. But I just also want, how do you kind of balance that with obviously bringing this back into the public market with the the exploration program into the public market?
Yes, a great question, and certainly more details to follow. We're going to be picking our final pads. We are permitted to drill 48 holes off 38 pads, and we're testing 7 kilometers out of 10 kilometers of strike length that we've identified with numerous trenches on surface where there's been exposure. And we also have historical drill holes on the edge of the system that have shown incredible copper mineralization subsurface right from surface. For us going into this, I mean, the anxiousness to drill this goes back to 2018 when we started to really see this come together through 2020. So we've been waiting a long time for it. And what we're thinking of doing here, and it'll depend on capital availability, but there seems to be a tremendous amount of demand for a good copper opportunity that's new, high grade, potentially large scale from surface. Everything we're going to drill starts at zero. And for that to be the case, I think we're going to get a chance to drill 15,000 meters would be our goal around the 7 kilometer intrusion. And just real simple geology for the crowd to understand. And it's in our presentation. If you visit our website, you can see it. But if you look in our appendix, you'll see the Las Bambas mine is 3 different intrusions. These are underground engines or volcanoes, you could say, that come up. They're fully mineralized, and when they interact with the Ferrobamba limestone that surround them, there's a chemical reaction like baking soda and vinegar, where copper and gold they dump out, and that's how the skarn mineralization around Las Bambas has been formed. The grade is really high in skarn systems. The geology is very variable, so it's sometimes takes a minute to get into it, but they can be some of the most profitable mines in the world, as we're seeing Las Bambas do extremely well with the grade as well as the tonnage they're able to mine there. In the case of Sombrero, we are in the final stages of just picking our final angles of the final drills, but there's so many targets to go after. It's more of a debate right now of which ones do we drill first. And that's kind of the best debate you could have an explorer. But we have horizontal strike length of 7 kilometers. We've mapped the rocks that are mineralized to be down over 1 kilometer in depth. We're not going to drill down too deep because we're targeting open pit mineralization. And lastly, we're seeing 200 meters of about 0.5% copper on surface. And in channel sampling, we're also seeing 109 meters of 0.7% copper on surface around some of these targets we're going to drill. The project is rare, and it's rare to get a chance at another Peruvian giant and to have fully permitted drill permits for it. This permit will only cover 1% of the 100,000 hectare land position we have, but it's going to unlock the thesis that we have potentially the next Las Bambas or and major mine that's on the belt next door. The stratigraphy, the same rocks, the same date of intrusions that formed all the major mines that are within 1 to 200 kilometers away to the east of us. It's here, the mineralization in the intrusions, it's polyphase. And what it means is it was pulsing continuously with copper and gold into the system, which gives us the chance for incredibly good grades of copper and gold, as we've seen on surface, ridiculous grades. We see visible gold, we see a lot of copper on surface and stuff like that. So it's a rare project in terms of scale. It's a rare project in terms of timing when these big ones are extremely hard to find. And the fact that everything starts from surface, or there's a thin layer of cover, 5 to 40 meters of volcanic cover on it, which is the Sombrero, the hat per se of how it was named. This gives us something big and rare at the perfect timing of the metals breaking out and copper demand about to go through and pass supply, and go into deficit.
All right. What about access to the market? I mean, there's a lot of people listening here, Ivan. It's like, well, I mean, this is all fun and games. I mean, not it's not games. I didn't mean that, but this is fun and very interesting. That's what I meant. But how do I get a piece of the action? And it's a private company. What is the move to get Copernico back to the market, publicly trading, allow people to put their chips on the table?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thanks for asking it. So we're public unlisted, and we have been listed on a gray market in the US that we have no control over. That's not our trade. I didn't even I can't really confirm much about that symbol, but I guess when you're in a public unlisted state, someone can list you in the gray market, zero control on it. If you can get shares there, great. I've personally tried to buy a huge position there because the pricing is extremely low, but it's not reflective of where we're going to finance this next. It's much lower than that, and I can't buy any shares through any of my brokerage accounts. So I don't think that's a good path to go, and many will have the same restrictions. We are going to file our 43-101 updated 43-101 report here in the next 2 weeks, and then we are going to apply for our listing on the Toronto Stock Exchange. And we're in the middle of arranging a financing, which will be a private placement. A lot of people have requested through our email info@copernicometals.com through our website to be part of that financing, to be on the list. That's a great way if you would like to be part of that financing or get a chance to be part of it. The demand seems well above what we're going to raise. That's a great feeling to have, but markets are tricky and they go and come. But we are going to look to go live with that funding in April. And that'll be one opportunity to come in. And then on the backside of raising that money, filing our 43-101 and filing necessary documents with the exchange, we would hope to see the company trading publicly sometime in May. And then we would be drilling 1 month after we complete our financing and obviously post-trading so everyone could speculate before we turn the first drill holes and see what happens. And our plan would be to drill four phases around the first target because there's four big targets around this one main target called Sombrero Main. And we would do that over 18 to 24 months. So there would be four shots at making that big discovery without having to go back to market for more capital. And so we're going to be very methodical. We're going to be very prudent with our approach because the scale is so big and the analog is to one of the larger mines in the world. I think if we're successful early, it's going to be felt really quickly. If it takes more time, because skarns are tricky, then great. But what gives us the confidence that there is a really good shot here is the fact that there's historical drilling. An iron ore person was a major producer, was looking for iron ore, and they drilled some incredible holes. And from that, the trenching on surface gives some good potential, very good potential that this could occur and be what we're advertising it to ourselves to potentially be in an analog to a big one.
Okay. We'll wait to see the terms of that financing deal when it does come. And Ivan, hopefully maybe we can touch base again this summer as drills are progressing and there's a little bit more I guess a little bit clarity on the strategy and where you're going to be targeting and how that looks like through the rest of 2024 into 2025 as well. But it's been a long time coming with this. I know your patience has probably been tested quite a bit, but I appreciate you coming onto the podcast here and sharing that story.
Well, thank you so much for having me on and exciting times, and look forward to sharing the next steps as they evolve quickly here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Take care, Ivan. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.